Well, one of the guiding principles that was drummed into us when we were training as physiotherapists at physio school was that stretching was vital to exercise. Now, it's true you needed to warm up before you did any sort of exercise, and it was drummed into us. We were told to tell our patients that cold muscle is like cold chewing gum. Boys and girls, if you get a piece of chewing gum and it's cold and you haven't chewed on it yet, you can break it in half, can't you? You can snap it. And muscle that hasn't been warmed up is like that too. So you need to warm up. Make the muscle pliable like chewing gum. But stretching, we were told, was absolutely vital. If you don't stretch, you're going to get injured. Well, this morning I have a confession to you, for you to make. I don't stretch. I virtually never stretch. Even though I told my patients for years and years, you must stretch, I never really did it. I still don't. Now that says a whole lot, doesn't it, for my opinion, actually on how effective stretching actually is for exercise. If I really believed that it was that vital, I'd be doing it myself. But I wonder sometimes this morning if we can have the same attitude with regard to prayer. We know we should. We do it from time to time, but we're not always convinced of its effectiveness, of its power. We can see this in several ways. I know in my own life, I see that sometimes when I see a prayer that's been answered. I've prayed for something, and God in his graciousness answers my prayer, and I'm amazed. He's listened. He's actually heard my prayer. Now, it is good that he's heard my prayer, but the fact that I'm surprised when he answers says a fair bit about my own heart and what I believe in prayer. Another example, a church prayer meeting. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't know you that well. But I'm picking when you hold church prayer meetings, you're not having to turn people away, am I right? You're not saying, I'm sorry, the building is full. There's no more room for people to pray. In Ringiora, and I've said this to our Ringiora congregation, we haven't yet started our prayer meetings. But to be honest, I personally find them sometimes slightly depressing. There are a faithful few that always turn up. But there are so many who could come and pray together with God's people. If we were really convinced that prayer was effective, we would be having to hold people back from coming together and praying. If we were really convinced, if you were really convinced that prayer works, you would be there. Now, you may disagree with me on that this morning, and that's fine. But what do you believe about prayer and its power? When it comes to the effectiveness of prayer, we can't lay the blame at God's feet. He is all-powerful. Nothing is impossible for him. So when it comes to a problem with prayer, the problem has to rest solely and totally with us. Whenever I hear a sermon on prayer, I'm challenged about how much more I could pray and the better prayers I could be praying. But rather than simply making us feel guilty this morning, and it's easy to do that, I want us to this morning to look at the positive way that Paul holds prayer before us. The encouragement that Paul has for us to pray as he encourages the Ephesians. How should we pray? How can we encourage each other to pray? Our theme this morning, our main idea is simple. Christians are called to pray. Christians are called to pray. And we're going to see that this morning in 4 points. As we follow the commands that Paul has in our chapter, in our text here verses 18 through 20. And I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bibles as we work our way through. So our first point this morning, as we follow the alls that Paul puts here in our passage, is pray at all times. Pray at all times. In our ESV Bibles, we read, praying at all times in the Spirit. The NIV has praying on all occasions. Now, Paul's not saying that we need to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, that's just not physically possible. You have to sleep sometimes. And I'm sure that no one here can pray in their sleep. Well, you can't sleep, that's a great time to pray. But we need to sleep. If you work for a boss, I'm sure your boss isn't going to be impressed if you say, well, I'm sorry, I can't work today because I'm spending the day praying. Or you ducked off for half an hour of every hour to go away and pray. That's not what Paul is saying here. But what he is saying is that we should pray all the time. Not just once a day, not twice a day, not just for meals, but repeatedly. The idea he's trying to bring through here is that prayer is an intimate part of everything we do. It's part of the warp and the woof of who we are, the foundational to our being. Praying at all times, morning, afternoon, late at night, when you can't sleep. When is the best time to pray? Anytime, every time. And that's not something we naturally find ourselves going to. I was at a meeting a year or so ago, and there was a need in the congregation that was raised. And one of the people there said, we should pray for them. And like good Reformed people, we all nodded our heads and said, yes, that's a good thing to do. And then we started to carry on talking. And this person said, no. We need to pray for them now. And so that's what we did. We stopped what we were doing and we prayed for this person. Often, when we're talking to people and a need arises, we say, I'll pray for you. And hopefully, you go away and do that. But praying at all times also means, how about when you're talking to that person that you say, can I pray for you now? Can I pray for you right here and now? How encouraging would it to be for us as a congregation to see after the service from time to time on a Sunday morning or afternoon, brothers and sisters praying for each other. Pray at all times. Anytime, anywhere, all the time, everywhere. But Paul goes on with his instruction, and it brings us to our second point this morning. He says, praying with all prayer and supplication. Praying with all prayer and supplication. He goes on, praying at all times, verse 18, in the Spirit. And we'll just pause there for a second. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now, he's not saying here that we should speak in tongues or pray some heavenly language. That's not what he's saying here. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles open, to Romans chapter 8, where Paul, as he's speaking to the church in Rome, explains to us and helps us to see what it means to pray in the Spirit. It's just a few pages back, Romans 8, starting at verse 26. Paul says there, Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. How do we pray in the Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit helps us, Paul says, in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us to know what to pray. When we can't pray, when the words don't come, the Holy Spirit himself prays for us with groanings too deep for words. And verse 34 points out to us too, not only is the Holy Spirit praying for us, but Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God praying for us as well. I don't know about you, but I find that tremendously encouraging. But Paul also says something in verse 27 that was pointed out to me in a sermon a couple of weeks ago that I was listening to. Speaking of the Father, he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, being God, knows God's will. The Holy Spirit takes our prayers and molds them to God's will. Praying in the Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit helping us to pray, to know the words to pray. But what should we pray? And that's what Paul says there, going on in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. The word there for prayer in verse 18 is a word that describes as a general word for prayer. Simply praying. The word for supplication is the idea of requests. It's a specific type of prayer, bringing requests to God. Now, we need to be careful to not read too much into the passage, but what Paul is making clear here is that prayer is more than just asking God for something. Sometimes we can treat prayer like a supermarket, like those supermarket aisles. You know, it's no mistake that supermarket companies put all the chocolates and the lollies in the aisle just as you go to pay for your groceries. And you go there and you see poor mums with little kids saying, "Can I have this? I want to have this." Our prayers can sometimes be like that. Or that we can treat God like one of those vending machines. You pop in a coin, or nowadays you swipe your card, which is even more simple, and then out pops your request to God. Now, Paul says prayer is more than requests. And a helpful way to think about prayer is an acronym by the way of ACTS. Has anyone heard of ACTS in terms of a way to pray? A few people? I'll take some of those slightly raised eyebrows as meaning you've heard. What does ACT stand for? What's the A stand for? Can someone tell me? Adoration. Thank you, adoration. Now that means praising God in our prayer for who he is, for his attributes, the fact that he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he's gracious. It helps set our mind as we come before God in prayer as to who we're praying to, bringing him the honor and glory worthy to him. The C, someone else. Confession. Confessing our sins to him. We have wronged you. And that's not just personally, that's also sometimes corporately as we come together as God's people. What about the T? Thanksgiving. Being thankful to God. Now, here we are thanking him for answered prayers, for the things that he has done in our life, the way that he's worked in our life. And then finally, the S. Supplication. Yes, supplication. That's when we bring our requests to God. Now, do we need to pray exactly this way every time? No. The Lord's Prayer in some ways follows this kind of pattern, but it's helpful for us to think about it. Helpful for us to think about the balance we need as we come before God in prayer. Paul also says that prayer, as part of prayer and supplication, it's the idea too of putting on the armor of God. It's another way to pray as you begin your day through prayer, putting on that armor. But boys and girls too, as we think of this point, I want you to take on something this morning as well. We heard in our call to worship that when we talk to God, he hears us. And Paul here teaches us that we should bring everything before God. So I want you to encourage you this morning that there is nothing too small to bring before your Heavenly Father in prayer. You can pray to him about anything that's on your heart. You can thank him for any of his blessings. And he will always listen to you. There's nothing too small. God doesn't listen to your prayers and says, "Really? That's what you're praying for? Don't you know I've got better things to do?" No, God's not like that at all. He hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. Your prayer. He hears all of our prayers all the time. And he knows us so much better than we know ourselves. So brothers and sisters, children, pour your hearts out to him. Bring everything to him in prayer. And then our third point this morning is praying with all perseverance. Praying with all perseverance. We've looked at the when we should pray, the what we should pray. Now we begin to look at the how we should pray. Pray with all perseverance, says Paul. At all times, in the Spirit, all prayer and supplication, keeping alert. Being awake. Now this word alert is only used a few times in the New Testament. And whenever it's used, it has the idea of keeping watch. It has the idea of being in a war zone, looking out for the enemy, staying awake, staying on point. It's an idea that Jesus speaks about in Luke 21 when he says, "Be alert, not being weighed down with the things of this world, the things that distract us, money, work, leisure. Things that distract you from eternity, that take your eyes off the prize." Prayer helps us to lift up our eyes and think of eternity. Keep alert, Paul says, praying with all perseverance. And for that, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We read there the parable of the persistent widow that shows us what it means to pray with perseverance. Luke 18, starting at verse 1. "And he told them a parable," and this is the reason for the parable, "to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The idea of being, of persevering, of being persistent. The word here, perseverance, in our passage, has the idea of seeing something through, sticking with it, not giving up, holding on till the end, keeping on going. Augustine was an early church father in the 300s. His mother, Monica, prayed for him for 31 years. 31 years before she saw any light in his life. 31 years before he came to the Lord, or the Lord drew him to him. She didn't give up. She kept on asking. It's easy sometimes just to pray once or twice. Pray for a bit and then give up. But God always answers prayers, brothers and sisters. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. The answer may be keep asking. Some of you here have probably been praying for your children for more than 31 years. Some of you here are looking at your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and you are tempted to despair as they turn away or they continue to walk a path away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have friends who are caught in sin and seem to be rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep bringing them before the Lord in prayer. Pray with all perseverance, with all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times. And then finally and fourthly, pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. Paul says there in verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You know, the idea here of saints is the idea of all believers, all of God's children. And Paul here is casting the net broadly and widely. He says, pray for everyone. Pray for all your brothers and sisters in the church. Pray for the church throughout the world. Pray for missions, local and abroad, not just some. Pray for all. But Paul also makes a request for himself. He reminds the Ephesians that he is an ambassador in chains. As Paul is writing this letter, it's believed that he is in Rome. He's been under house arrest for a year, and he's awaiting a trial with the emperor. And as he comes before the emperor, his life is on the line. If the emperor decides against him, he will be killed. So I know what I would be asking for people to pray for me in that situation. As I face potentially death before a ruler, I'd be saying, pray for me that my trial would go well. Pray that I would be released from my chains. But that's not what Paul prays. What's Paul's focus as he is in chains? His focus is the same focus as it has been throughout all of the book of Ephesians, throughout all of Paul's letters, and his focus is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he asks for prayer for. Pray that words may be given to me in opening my mouth to pray, to speak what? To boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul has talked about mystery earlier in Ephesians. The idea there is it's that the gospel has now been revealed. It's been given not only to Jews, but to Gentiles. Pray that I may boldly proclaim the gospel. Give me the words. Pray that I may have the words to speak the gospel, that I may do so with boldness. And that helps us, brothers and sisters, as we consider how we should pray for each other as brothers and sisters. It helps you as you consider what you should pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor during the week as he spends time in his study. Pray for Pastor David on Sunday morning before he preaches, that he may be given and he may say the words that God has given him to say, that he may do so boldly. Pastor David needs that prayer. He needs your prayers. And tell him that you're praying for him. Nothing encourages a pastor more than when you just drop him a note saying, hey, you're in my prayers this week. But it also helps us, brothers and sisters, to consider how we should pray for each other. And Rangi, or I don't know what you have here, but we have a prayer list that we can work our way day by day through the congregation and pray for members of the congregation. That's a good thing. But when you're praying for your brothers and sisters, you actually need to know what to pray for. We live in a world where neighborhoods and people are becoming more and more introverted. COVID hasn't helped with that either. In our subdivision where we're living, we're trying to get to know our new neighbors, and it's not easy. Some of them we never see, and all we see is just a wave when they're driving out, if we see them at all. Some of our neighbors always have their curtains closed. You never see them or hear them. And sometimes in the church, it's not all that different. We go about our lives, we come to church on a Sunday morning, and then we go out and just stick to ourselves. How well do you really know your brothers and sisters in Christ? And truth be told, some of us don't actually want to be known by our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the idea here of prayer and praying for all things has the idea too that we know what our brothers and sisters are going through. When was the last time that you asked a brother or sister in the church, what can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? But more than that, remember that in Paul's prayer, as he takes us, central to his prayer, central to who Paul was the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we're praying for each other, we should be praying for the work of the gospel in each other's lives. Not just for the gospel proclaimed out there, but the gospel in our own lives. That the Holy Spirit would be working in lives, applying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in situations where we are challenged, where there is sin, where we're having difficulty in our relationships, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would make a difference, would bring us together. And then as part of that, then even through that, that we would boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would hold him out, that we'd proclaim him, that we'd have opportunities to speak to people about the hope that we have. Do you pray that for your brothers and sisters? The story is told about George Muller, a man who set up a number of orphanages in North America. Has anyone heard of George Muller? A few people have. He lived and built the orphanage on prayer. He tells the story in his autobiography that there was one morning and there was no food. There was about 100 children and support staff in the orphanage and there was no food whatsoever. So what George Muller did is he got everyone to sit down at the breakfast table and he said, we're going to ask the Lord for a blessing on the food. Muller prayed this, Dear Father, we thank you for what you are going to give us to eat. There was a knock at the door. It was the baker, unable to sleep because he was sure that the Lord wanted him to break bread, to bake bread for Muller. Muller said, we not only have bread, but we have fresh bread. And almost immediately they heard a second knock. It was the milkman. The milk cart had broken down outside the orphanage, and he offered milk to the children, completing their meal. Chance? Fanciful? I don't think so. Answers to prayer. God powerfully at work. Brothers and sisters, prayer is powerful. Prayer works. As Christians, we are called to pray. We can do nothing else. Will you pray with me now?